kidding me?
Wait. Okay, wait. Wait, I think we can salvage it.
Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
Hello, this is an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Kathleen, your lake swimming, outdoor dining, becoming an expert on smart refrigerators friend.
And I'm Bethany, your AC running, outside avoiding, still sleeping on my couch because of bed bugs friend.
And every week, Bethany and I meet up to discuss our lives, what's weird in the world, and we invite you to join us. This week, we're talking about...
Kathleen, would you like to spend your free time babysitting other people's children and keeping all of it organized on a group calendar and having something called a kid kit just for fun?
Nope, can't say that I do.
Well, then you can't be in my babysitter's club. I am talking about the long history of the Anne M. Martin classic, The Babysitter's Club, in all of its incarnations, because there is a new Netflix Babysitter's Club coming up on July 3rd.
Woot, woot, woot.
Yes.
That's why I recently bought like the first 12 books in the classic series, because I'm getting prepared for teenage television.
Well, the good news is that those are the books that were still written by Anne M. Martin, but not too many more. Kathleen, what are you talking about today?
I'm inviting everyone to come and join myself and you, Bethany, in a highly educational conversation about all of the weird and mysterious and creepy slash illegal things you can buy on the dark web.
Amazing.
I have to say, I stumbled upon this topic in a very strange way.
In a hot dish?
I read this story about this guy who like won a chili cook-off and potentially had some of the people that he murdered in the chili that he won the cook-off with. And then I just started getting deeper and deeper and deeper into cannibalism.
As people do.
And pretty soon I was reading about human recipes, like recipes on the dark net that teach you how to cook human remains. And I can't say that there's any one direction this is going in. It's just, here's some information, some fucked up information I learned.
I just want to like peel back the curtain a little bit for our gentle listeners. You today are dressed in this beautiful marigold frock. Oh. It's like what would you call that? Oh, I don't even know what to call it.
A turtleneck. It's like a frilly turtleneck thing.
The front is kind of smocked and it's got beautiful little like tiny balls hanging off the sleeve things. It's very hippie.
I look like a folk artist, maybe. Yeah. Like I'm going to sing Blackbird Singing in the Dead of Night. Like, you know, acoustic for my friends around a campfire.
You have like a scarf in your hair and you're wearing glasses and you look like a 1970s just hippie mom, I guess, because like you're pulled together. You're not dirty, but you just look like really laid back. And so that the fact that you're coming with the dark web topic is why I love you.
It's real fucked up. It's real dark. Bethany, did you do anything fun this weekend?
I did. On Saturday night, the Portland Horror Festival played the short film that I made with my boyfriend Dennis called Lonely Hearts. So we had a bunch of people who weren't able to see it last month at the Art of Brooklyn Film Festival were able to see it this month. And there was an amazing filmmaker talk back. We met so many cool people. We met a gentleman who his film was in it and he's done work on like Jurassic Park and Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark with special effects and puppets and like practical effects. And he's so talented and so amazing.
So cool.
So we got to do that Saturday night. It was so much fun. Shout out to the Portland Horror Fest. And yesterday, Dennis and I just sort of hung out. He can't really come over a lot right now because bed bugs.
Yeah.
So we've been trying to figure out how to
navigate
keep
that.
This relationship going. Yeah. What about you, Kathleen? How was your weekend? Did you drink in public?
I did drink in public. You know me so well.
I do.
I went to my friend's lake house. My friend's parents just bought a lake house. And so she invited us there to do some hiking. And then we went swimming in the lake. And I always forget that New Jersey has, despite, you know, its reputation for being the armpit of America, New Jersey has a lot of fabulous outdoor areas that are, you know, not that far from New York City. And so my friend's parents just bought this house on Lake Iosco.
Okay.
And it's a lake where there's no motorboats allowed. So it's just like people paddling in canoes or like on their paddle boards or just swimming. And Bethany, the lake water was so warm. I was like, I like want to move here. I need a lake house now. Every time I go on vacation, I come back and I'm like, okay, I'm going to buy a house there. And so now I'm obsessed with buying a lake house. But like it was just so nice to just float in the lake with my friends and just bullshit. And, you know, it was just awesome.
That sounds so relaxing. I don't know if I would have had the guts to go into the lake, because all I think about is those news stories where someone goes in a lake and then they develop necrotizing fasciitis and like they lose an arm or their life. Like, how do you know you're not going to get some amoeba into your bloodstream when you swim in a lake?
This is like a lake that has an association. So there are people who pay into the association that live on the lake. And there's like a team of people in charge of doing tests like that and okay. making sure the lake is safe. And I think that's why I felt better. Those brain-eating amoeba, I think they mostly happen in bodies of water where there's not a lot of churning. You know, okay. it's like fresh bodies of water that are sort of like swimming holes, you know, quote unquote swimming holes that don't have in and out, like tributaries in and
gotcha.
Out.
Does that make sense? That totally makes sense. But you mispronounced it. I think it's swimming hole. I don't think you can add the G.
I think it has to be
swimming hole. Well, good. I'm glad you got to do that.
I had dinner outside, too, at a restaurant, which felt so normal. It was so weird.
Were there mannequins or teddy bears sitting around you in the other tables?
There was, social distancing. There was like only three tables at this restaurant. And I was happy to go out and support a local business that I could eat outside at. And it was nice to not eat a meal on my couch for once.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally hear you.
Where I eat every single other meal.
I hear you. So can I give you the bed bug latest?
Yeah, tell me. Any new bites on your body?
No new bites on my body. Mm-hmm. Haven't seen anything else. However, mm-hmm. we may have accidentally hired a illegitimate bed bug detector.
No, what do you mean?
So apparently there's an issue with, you know, those bed bug sniffing dogs. Like some people train their dogs to give false positives and then they just charge you. And then so we used this company and afterward, like, I just got a weird vibe from the whole thing.
Yeah.
And we looked online and this company has an F with a Better Business Bureau.
Oh,
and
no.
Like they have like mostly negative reviews on Yelp.
Oh shit.
And they're being accused of faking these results. Mm. So the guy is coming back tomorrow to do one more treatment. I don't know if the first treatment did anything. I don't know if we needed a treatment at all.
Yeah.
But I'm still sleeping on my couch because I'm afraid to sleep on my bed. We will see what happens. But I feel like I don't know what to do. Yeah. Because all of my clothes are in plastic bags. They're clean from the laundromat, but I can't bring them into my apartment because I'm afraid. I just am sort of in this place where I'm only wearing the same three things and I don't know what to do because I don't know if I have bed bugs or not.
Okay, so we're going to MacGyver this.
Okay.
Some point this week, after the guy comes and does his second treatment, I'm going to come to your house and I'm going to drop off. And I know that they are not great for animals and that's why I stopped using them. Like when I was trying to catch mice, I had those sticky traps.
Yeah.
Okay. Ugh. You don't have mice. You have bed bugs. Yeah. So I think it would be okay to catch bed bugs in your sticky traps.
Sure. Yeah, I'm okay with it.
If I drop those off to you, you can put them in the spots where the guy said that you had bed bugs. You can use cardboard to set up like a border so your cats don't get stuck on them.
Yeah.
And then you can leave them in the spots where the guy said you had bed bugs and see if the bed bugs crawl around on them, especially like on next to your couch and then behind your bed and that kind of stuff.
Are bed bugs drawn to sticky traps?
They crawl up things. So sticky traps, you don't even need to leave it on the floor. You could like tape it to the back of your bed.
And you know what? That's a really good idea. And then also I'm going to take that idea and then I'm going to say yes and I'm going to have a vial of my own blood drawn by a professional and I'm going to I'm going to leave that blood in a little saucer and I'm going to put that saucer next to the sticky trap because what they really want is your blood.
Yeah.
So it's just going to be like a little, like the equivalent of when like the coyote would put a stick in a box with like Roadrunner treats. So we're going to do that, but for bed bugs.
Yeah, exactly. And they like carbon, exhale?
Monoxide.
Carbon monoxide.
Yeah.
Carbon dioxide. We don't exhale.
You're right. Carbon dioxide.
We would be killing each other left and right. Can you imagine me?
Sorry. You're right. Dioxide.
Yeah, dioxide. So they're attracted to that too. So over this vial and this sticky trap, you just need to sort of like suspend yourself maybe on an ottoman and just breathe out over these two things. And then you can see if you get them.
Like Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible, like the one wire suspending my whole body and I'm just doing like this to hold my position.
Yeah.
I think this sounds great. So, but I'll do it overnight because that's when they come out. So overnight, that's what we're going to do.
I mean, you're an aerial artist. So there you go. You just suspend yourself from the ceiling and just breathe down.
I see no flaws in this plan.
Yeah. No flaws.
We'll stream it live on Instagram. So Kathleen, so many of us have been living in loungewear for the past 3 months or so. Maybe you want to mix things up by being just as comfortable, but looking a little bit more professional.
Hello, duh, Bethany. And that is why we love Beta Brand's dress pant yoga pants, because they look professional, they're stylish, but they're as comfortable as your favorite sweats. I have a new pair that I just got an email. They're on their way. I'm getting Beta Brand's bootcut pants.
Nice.
And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to rock some bootcut like it's the early 2000s.
I have a pair of their skinny moto jeans with real functional zippers. Mm-hmm. And I have a pair of their tuxedo pants that I bought years ago. And the reason we love Beta Brand's dress pant yoga pants is because they combine customer experiences with their own expertise to make workwear that's functional, comfortable, and as inspiring as your favorite workout gear.
And my favorite part about the dress pant yoga pants is that they're wrinkle resistant. Like the stretch knit fabric makes them perfect for long days when you still want to look nice and crisp.
Normal dress pants are uncomfortable. They dig into your skin. And if you're sitting all day, you just want to unbutton them and lean back and let your belly hang out. Mm-hmm. Beta Brand's dress pant yoga pants are soft, but they still somehow hold everything in and they make your butt look really good. But you can high kick in them.
You can high kick to the heavens.
They have tons of different colors and styles to choose from, like Kathleen's boot cut, the straight leg, the skinny, the cropped, the eight pocket, and so many more. Plus, they launch new styles weekly.
Right now, our listeners can get 25% off of their first order. All you have to do is go to betabrand.com/taste.
That's 25% off of your first order for a limited time at betabrand.com/taste.
Find out why women are buying 5 different pairs of these pants.
Go to betabrand.com/taste for 25% off. Kathleen.
Yes.
Did you grow up reading The Babysitter's Club?
Sure did.
Yeah.
This is one of my absolute favorite topics. I'm very passionate about Christy, Stacy, Mary, and Claudia, and then later Dawn.
My older sister did too. I was not allowed to read The Babysitter's Club because she already read them. And so I had to read Babysitter's Little Sister, starring Karen, the whiny younger sister of Christy, who started The Babysitter's Club.
I don't remember this.
Oh, yeah. She was real whiny.
Christy having a younger sister named Karen?
Yeah. What? Christy had like 4 siblings. Some of them were step siblings, maybe. I don't remember. But Karen was a younger sibling and her parents were divorced. And at the beginning of every book, she would tell us how her parents got divorced. And so she ripped her baby blanket in half and she kept one half at one parent's and one half at the other. And sometimes it's hard, but she gets 2 Thanksgivings.
Why weren't you allowed to read the Babysitter's Club books just because your older sister was reading them?
It's okay. I probably wasn't not allowed to. I probably misspoke. It's more like it was recommended because we already had those books, right? Like Nicole like had them already.
Yeah.
And so it didn't make sense for me to also buy them. But because my sister already read them, it was like, well, why don't you read this younger generation of it? And so it was, I think it was sort of recommended to me. And then, you know, but because I like to be a victim, I was like, and I wasn't allowed to.
I was going to ask if your mom was like, no, Bethany, the content in the Babysitter's Club books are too mature for you.
Oh my gosh, no, she didn't care. So we're going to talk about the Babysitter's Club because it is a beloved establishment in literary history. And there's also the new series that's coming out on Netflix on July 3rd, I believe.
Yes, I'm so excited for this new series.
So the Babysitter's Club, my main source is, of course, the Babysitter's Club Wikipedia page. Mm. However, I also used a lot of amazing sources like Board Game Geek, Entertainment Weekly, IMDb, thefw.com, babysittersclub.fandom.com/wiki/TV_series. A lot of awesome sources. They're all listed in the show notes. So The Babysitter's Club is a bunch of books, if you didn't read them, written by Anna Martin. They were published by Scholastic between 1986 is when they first came out, and then they stopped publication in the year 2000. And overall, The book sold 176 million copies.
Holy Moses.
Yeah. Now, at the time that the Babysitter's Club was a thing, Anna Martin was just a freelance author. And Scholastic wanted her to create a new series of books because a different book had done really well that was about babysitting. And so they wanted to like make this a thing. But they wanted to make sure that the focus of the novels were on the club as a whole, not on any of the individual babysitters.
Okay.
Because they wanted to learn about teamwork and, you know, groups and friends and people sticking together.
Yeah, all good things to know, right? When you're a little kid.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Anna Martin looked at her old journals from when she was growing up, and she based the character of Marianne on herself, and then the character of Christy, the type A one who, like, started the whole thing, that's based on her childhood friend.
I am so excited for a new generation of girls to get interested in this group of friends. I think for me, what I really enjoyed about the Babysitter's Club is that they were all so different, but all accepted each other's differences.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, Christy was always like with the baseball cap on, and she was sort of a tomboy
and a pain in the ass.
Yeah. And then there was like Stacy, who was into fashion. And then like Mallory and Jesse were a little bit younger. But the girls, they really didn't discriminate against one another because they were all working for the greater good of the Babysitter's Club. And like Marianne was always really quiet. But like Christy is like, don't worry. Like when you get to know Marianne, she's actually like really fun. And I think that's what I liked so much about all of them. And like Dawn was always trying to save, you know, save the world. I think Dawn was the original Visco girl, like save the turtles.
I think you're like, right.
Yeah. Save the turtles, be a vegetarian, like wear sandals and you're the hippie, like peace, love.
Yeah. And like even just because we'll talk a little later, but I watched the TV show.
Yeah.
Growing up. And so like we had those VHS tapes. That was the first time that like I really saw girls around my age not all just fighting with each other all the time.
Uh-huh.
Because TV and movies like to show girls just bickering.
Yeah.
And like trying to ruin each other's lives. And I mean, they set a really good early example for girls about being entrepreneurs because they, you know, loved to babysit. They saw a hole in the market and they decided that they could do this. And I know that, you know, growing up, like we would pretend to start businesses. And I know my older sister, I'm going to out her, but she wrote fan fiction of the Babysitter's Club.
Oh,
so I think that they just provided a really good model for still being able to do stuff even if you were young.
Yeah, they were total badasses. I mean, when they dreamt up this idea of the Babysitter's Club, they put an ad in the newspaper. Like, what 13-year-old puts an ad in the newspaper?
Did that cost money to put an ad in the newspaper?
I'm sure it did. Maybe somebody had an allowance?
Sure. I don't know. One of them was rich, I'm sure.
Bethany, I'm really so sad that you didn't read the books because they had some hard hitting topics. And I hope they do some of these episodes in the Netflix series. Like one of the books, Claudia, she was babysitting these brat little kids who were totally racist. They didn't want her to be their babysitter because she was Asian.
Oh my God. Are you serious?
I'm serious. Like there were hard hitting topics in these books. And jeez, there was a body positivity book. Jessie was a dancer and she thought maybe one of the younger girls in her class had an eating disorder. And oh my goodness, if you're looking for a good cry, you got to pick up Claudia and the Sad Goodbye when her grandmother dies. Oh,
that's awful. Yeah, I mean, those are good books. My sister never told me she was going through so many life lessons. I never know.
Marianne's house burned down? Unreal.
Okay,
unreal.
But be honest. Mm-hmm. Do we kind of suspect that Marianne set her own house on fire?
No, she definitely did.
Maybe she needed some attention.
Nope.
Because maybe everyone else was getting all the attention. Marianne burned her house down.
Would never do that.
Maybe she didn't tell anyone, but she doused it in gasoline and then lit a Bic lighter.
Marianne, I think, was the treasurer of the club. And as treasurer, she is obviously very responsible and she would never do that.
Maybe Marianne was embezzling money and she needed to get rid of the documentation.
Sure.
So she burned her house down.
Okay,
so can I give you a little Babysitter's Club history?
Oh, please do.
All right. Of the 213 novels that were in the series.
Damn, that's a lot.
How many of them do you think Anna Martin actually wrote herself?
I'm going to lowball it because I have an idea. This is where you're going. I'm going to say out of 213, maybe she wrote 25.
Actually, she wrote more than that. So The first 35 or 36 books were her alone.
Okay.
And then after that, ghostwriters came in and either wrote all of them or parts of them, and she co-wrote parts. She estimated she wrote between 60 to 80 of the 213 books.
Oh, all right.
Now, at first I was like, that's less than half. That's not that much. But when you think about writing 60 to 80 novels, that's so many damn novels.
About like the same characters.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That's why TV shows have a whole team of writers. I mean, it's impossible. Bethany, could you write 200 stories about your two cats?
Okay.
And their different situations?
It depends how much am I being paid, but I get your point. Yeah, you get exhausted and you start, like, you become probably unable to see anything new about these characters, especially because there's so many books and they stay relatively the same ages.
Yep.
So, like, how many times can you have a crush when you're 13? I mean, a million if you're me, but like, you know, I see your point. You need just like fresh blood to come in.
There are so many titles of the Babysitter's Club books that had the word goodbye in it. Like Stacy says goodbye, Dawn says goodbye, Claudia and the sad goodbye. It's like, how many times can you say goodbye?
I mean, they're saying goodbye all the time. There's a lot of emotions. I'll tell you this much. This is the first time that I came to understand the idea of ghostwriters was learning about the Babysitter's Club when I was growing up, because I inherently just knew that Anna Martin didn't write all of them. And so it made sense that other people were writing them for her. And then when I learned about character Bibles and show Bibles, I had so much respect for Anna Martin, because if you're doing something like this, you need to write. But they're called Bibles, and it tells you everything about the characters.
What is this? A character Bible?
Yeah. So like for books, for example, from what I understand, because it's the same for like TV, every character, you have to say exactly what their deal is, what they look like, their history, what they love, what they've done in the previous books, so that the next writer coming in, when they're writing Claudia, they pull out the Claudia Bible and they read everything about it so that everyone sort of has the same idea of who these characters are. And it's so intensive to write. Like, it takes so long. Dennis and I are working on pitching Lonely Hearts, and I'm writing the show Bible right now. And this is like a thesis sized document that you prepare to show people so everyone has the same understanding of who all these characters are. I would love to see the Bibles for all of these characters in the Babysitter's Club, because I bet they're thick.
I wish Scholastic would release them online.
Scholastic, publish the Bibles. Let us see the Bibles. Can I file a Freedom of Information Act to get the Bibles from Scholastic?
You sure can.
I'm going to submit a FOIA. Okay, back to the books. There were the original novels, and then things got so successful that Scholastic was like, more, more, dance, dance, monkey, dance for my money.
Money, money, money.
Wrote a bunch of other novels as well. So they had spinoffs called the Super Specials, which were longer. Mm-hmm. And I think they had white covers. I remember being jealous when Nicole, my sister, brought home Super Specials, because it was like a thicker, like they would go off campus and do things at like a lodge.
Ooh, look at all those BSC members getting out of Stony Brook. Good for them.
Yeah, or like an Overlook Hotel, where then like one of them, like either them or their dad, like goes crazy and then starts like killing them all with a hatchet. And then they all have to escape in a labyrinthine type maze outside in the snow. And then they get away at the end.
No, Bethany, I don't think that that's a Babysitter's Club storyline.
And then her dad, they realize that her dad has been the whole time just writing a book, and all the book says is all work and no play makes Christie's big idea a dull boy.
No, you're talking about Jack Nicholson, and you're describing The Shining, and that's not a Babysitter's Club storyline.
It was a super special.
No,
it was in the white super special.
No, it wasn't. It was not a super special.
Ghost written by Stanley Kubrick.
How much do you think Anne M. Martin is worth?
Oh, millions.
Type it into the Googs.
Okay, hold on. My Googs is slow. Also, I have long nails and they're not typing well. Hold on a second. An estimated 1 to 5 million. That's not enough.
If you ever look up like vintage Babysitter's Club covers on the internet, often in the corner it says 75 cents. So maybe that is right. Maybe she's only worth $5 million.
That's true. I just looked up my own net worth. It also says 1 to 5 million approximately, which is not true.
You are my richest friend.
I'm not. So I think that they just, when they don't know who the person is or they don't know, they just plug in 1 to 5.
Wouldn't it be really amazing to have a really successful person in your family that you're a descendant of, and then whatever they create, you inherit the residuals, and then you can live off the residuals for the rest of your life?
Oh my God. Like if you were Kathleen R.R. Tolkien.
Yep, exactly.
Like, you'd be so rich and you wouldn't have to do anything.
You were Bethany King and maybe like your grandfather was Stephen King.
Yeah, you just get to gallivant around New York and all you are is an inheritess.
That is my dream because I am lazy.
I know. Yeah. Okay, so let's move on. This is the fun part. So in 1990, the Babysitter's Club had a 13-episode TV series that aired on HBO and Nickelodeon. It was also released to video.
Yes, I used to get the tapes from, you know, those like those things you could order books through at school. What were they called?
Scholastic Book Fair.
Yeah, Scholastic Book Fair. Yeah, and every month you got this like really thin piece of paper with all the books and you circled and placed your order. I used to order the VHS tapes through Scholastic Book Fair.
Yeah, we had a bunch of them too because I was watching these videos on YouTube and I was immediately brought back to these videos and like the actresses. The 1990 show, it had 13 episodes. The first one was Marianne and the Brunettes. And here was a little bit of the theme song to this series called Say Hello to Your Friends.
To your friends. Say hello to the people who care. Say hello to your friends. Nothing Sitters Club. Because you know that your friends are always there.
Dun, 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 dun. Okay.
Say hello to your friends, Babysitter's Club. Oh my God. I can't believe I remember that. Holy
it's
shit.
Stuck in your brain. Stuck in your brain.
Holy shit.
In the episode that I was watching on YouTube, one of them is looking at I think Claudia is looking at an awesome outfit that everyone else is like, this is ugly. And then she goes, Stacy, you look at it. You always like good outfits. And Stacy looks over and she's wearing like an electric green beret. And that's how you know that she loves outfits.
That's it. She's very quirky.
Okay.
Yeah.
In 1992, Warner Brothers released the album Babysitter's Club, Songs for My Best Friends, and it was music from the TV show, and it had 10 songs on it, including the songs Dance, Good Time, Dear Diary, Telephone Talk, School is Cool, and Him. Quickly, I'm going to play a clip from the song Dance. Because if anything says, hooray, it's the early 90s, it's dance.
Wow, what a good song. I'm shocked that the song Dance is about dancing.
It's a bop.
You know what? It does. It brings me back. It brings me back. I wonder what the song Him is about.
To me, the song Him just sounds like some sort of creepy stalkery, like I want to be in your head and your skin, like I want to be him, I want to live him, I want to live inside him when I babysit him.
Bethany, you were totally off on your interpretation of him.
I nailed it.
Nope.
Nailed it.
Nope, not at all.
Nailed it.
Breaking news, breaking news. I'm hitting the Googs right now for more information on the VHS tapes.
Yes.
Did you know that Zach Braff is in one of those tapes?
He had to be like, what, 5? Does he play one of the babies in the Babysitter Club?
No, he's a teenager and he's in this episode called Dawn Saves the Trees. I think I remember this episode. I think Dawn and Zach Braff, their characters were dating.
How old are these people?
I also have another fun fact about the Babysitter's Club. But
you were a font of knowledge.
So the artwork, apparently the same artist did all of the artwork for all 200 of the original Scholastic books.
That's awesome.
Kirsten Dunst, and this comes from BuzzFeed. Kirsten Dunst, her very first modeling job was posing for the book cover, Claudia and the Phantom Phone Call.
What?
What?
I think it's the second book in the whole series. And basically with the artist who painted the covers, his name was Hodges Solu. He would work from photos. So Scholastic would take photographs of people and then he would paint them. So it looked like, you know, a painting on the cover of the book. Wow. And Claudia's holding a little girl while on the phone in the cover of Claudia and the Phantom Phone Calls. And that little girl is Kirsten Dunst. You can't really see her. You can't see her face. And I think that's so funny.
Oh my gosh. I didn't know that they like pose the people. That's really, that makes me feel less awful that I'm not good at drawing. Maybe I'm just not looking at the right photographs.
When the official Babysitter's Club movie came out in 1995, one of my favorite parts, and this is one of the reasons why I'm so excited for kids these days to get the Netflix version.
Kids these days. Get your ball off my lawn.
Is when the club made up a rap about the brain to help Claudia pass her summer school class. Like, my friends never would have made up a song to help me pass science class.
No, never. My friends wouldn't. But you know what? I would make up a song about the brain for you, Kathleen.
Oh, thank you, Bethany.
Because I love you and I want you to pass your science class.
It has stuck with me all of these years. It's like the brain, the center of the chain from the cerebellum down to the blah, 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 blah. I want to play a piece for you.
Okay.
If you want to play, if you want to jump, you got to get your ventricles to pump. If you want to... the brain, the center of the chain. And it was like a whole lesson on anatomy.
Oh my gosh. That's great.
I always have like wanted to be in a science class taking a test and find that to come in handy. I never have found myself in that situation though.
I can't tell you how many times the 15 nifty United States from 13 original colonies and then the song with all of the states in it has come in handy. That has saved my butt.
I don't know that song. What's that song?
Alabama, Alaska, Arizona, Arkansas, California, Colorado, Connecticut. Did you ever learn that song?
No, I never did.
So helpful. Learn it. It's great. Okay, so speaking of the film, in 1995, you were right, the movie came out. So mm-hmm. it starred Skylar mm-hmm. Fisk, Rachel Lee Cook, Larissa mm-hmm. Olenek from The Secret World of Alex mm-hmm. Mack.
Yeah.
And
this is how Rachel Lee Cook got her start. Yeah. It was like her big break.
I love how much you know about this topic, by the way.
And we would be remiss if we didn't mention that actor Danny Tamborelli. We've talked about him. We've talked about him on this podcast before.
We call him a friend of the podcast, even though he's never been on the podcast. Friend of the podcast, Danny Tamborelli.
Most people know him from Pete and Pete on Nickelodeon. He was the only actor that made his leap from the VHS TV show to the BSC feature film.
You know why? Because he is a consummate professional and a very highly skilled actor.
I hope he's in the Netflix version. Wouldn't it be cool if he played one of the dads?
One of the hot dads, what's the fucking show where all the kids look like vampires, but they're not?
Vampire Diaries?
No.
Twilight?
No, they're not vampires, but they look vampires because they're glossy.
Bratz?
No, it's like Renville.
What?
Greenville. It's a town, but it's the Betty.
Riverdale.
Like on Riverdale, where the dads are like old heartthrob actors who are now like hot dads.
Oh, R.I.P. Luke Perry.
Yeah. Ugh. But Skeet Ulrich. So in 1996, they weren't stopping there. There was a Mm-mm. computer game mm-hmm. called Babysitter's Club Friendship Kit. Mm-hmm. Did you have this, Kathleen?
I didn't. No, I didn't because okay. I didn't have a computer in 1996.
Yeah, I didn't either. So this was produced by Philips Media, and it took place in Claudia's room, and basically you were a new babysitter. And so you would go through and open all the files, and everyone would introduce themselves to you via their file, and you would go around and, like, you could write notes. And here's a little sound from the computer game, and it just brings back so much nostalgia for 90s kids games. Here we go.
Hi, welcome to the Babysitter's Club. I'm Christy Thomas, president.
Hi, I'm Claudia Kishi.
Hi, I'm Marianne Spear.
Hi, I'm glad you dropped in at the BSC Stationery Kit. It's a good place to be creative and outrageous.
Do you want to be creative and outrageous?
Thanks for dropping in to the BSB Club thing.
The game looks obnoxious and pink, and I would have loved it growing up. I would have been all over it. Let's talk about the series, the upcoming 2020 Netflix series. It's going to be released on July 3rd. All 10 episodes will debut together.
Oh my God, that's so soon.
Anna Martin is listed as a producer on the show. She's still all about it.
Yeah.
And the cool thing that it sounds like they're doing is bringing these characters kind of into the present. So, for example, which of the one has diabetes?
That is
Dawn?
No, Stacy.
Stacy. So Stacy, they're going to show a little bit more of like what her friends aren't able to understand about having diabetes and like what the technology is and what she's going through. Dawn being vegetarian is going to be a little bit now more like socially aware and conscious and maybe more invested in like the earth. And so everything that they already are, they're just sort of leaning into that more. I looked up promo pictures of Claudia and her outfits are actually amazing. Like there's no clock tights anymore. There's just like, she looks so cool. Have you seen the trailer?
I sure have. Oh, it looks so good.
It looks so good. I have to say, this is what I loved about it. They have the see-through landline telephone, which I didn't think they were going to do, and I have so much respect that they did, but they still place it in the present day. It's just because they have – you have to have the old phone that's see-through. You have to.
You can't have a Babysitter's Club TV show without the see-through phone. And I think at one point one of the girls is like, oh, I bought this on Etsy. It's iconic.
Yeah, they're like, but it's 30 years old.
I mean, for seventh graders, in the trailer for Netflix, their outfits are on point. Their rooms – oh my God, the colors in their room. It's like straight out of Pottery Barn Teen.
And Alicia Silverstone is in it.
Yeah! Did she play Christy's mom?
She plays Christy's mom.
Yeah, I knew it. Oh, yep. God.
When I was thinking about this, I was like, okay, this is just like a money grab throwback, you know, nostalgia thing for, you know, people who grew up in the 90s who now are able to make television. But they made a good point. Entertainment Weekly did an interview with the showrunner, Rachel Schuker, and she raised the point that right now people really are giving a platform to hear more of girls and women's stories.
Yeah.
So this is actually a really great time to do this.
Yes.
She also said to Entertainment Weekly, so much of it is about being a good citizen, being a responsible person, and also just the positivity of being good friends to each other, good friends to the kids that they take care of. It's a positive world and a story in a way that felt like a remedy to certain things. So their goal is to make it watchable for the parents, watchable for the kids, maybe a break from a lot of the scariness that's going on and a reminder that, you know, friendship and love and acceptance is really at the core. And it looks like the cast is pretty diverse. The girl who plays Claudia is Canadian, born to Japanese immigrant parents. I think the 1990 series, I don't remember it a ton, but I feel like Claudia was just played by a brunette. Like, I don't know how much actual diversity was in it.
So the actress who plays Claudia in the Netflix series, people might know her from To All the Boys I've Loved Before. She's a little sister. Her name is Mamona Tamada.
The other thing that I really like about it is in the books, Dawn and Marianne were both white characters, and in the Netflix series, they're being played by actresses of color, which I think is really cool. They made it a little bit more diverse.
Ah, I love that.
I'm actually going to watch it. I'm excited to see it. And of course, like the fact that Alicia Silverstone's in it is amazing.
Duh. I am so excited for you to finally enjoy a teen TV show. Welcome to my side of the fence. I like to call us 30-nagers over here.
Okay, if I watch The Babysitter's Club on Netflix, will you please watch like a Midsummer Murders or please don't, come on.
Okay.
Dead Still. Please watch something that involves murder.
It's only fair. It's only fair.
Thank you. Would you trust a 13-year-old to watch your child?
No.
I wouldn't, but good for them.
But maybe my cat, like maybe the Cat Sitters Club is some more real. Maybe Netflix should just do a quick refresh and, you know.
Yeah. Like a spinoff, like Karen can run a cat sitting club.
A Babysitters Club spinoff that was titled Karen would literally write itself.
Oh my gosh, she has Kate Gosselin's haircut.
Yep. Yeah, she does.
So it's like short in the back, spiking the front.
She wants to speak to the manager of Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah, exactly.
And in geometry, she's always telling the teacher that the earth is flat.
Now that is a series I would read. Like a tiny, just little awful Karen. I would read that.
Bethany, you know what I hate about wearing jewelry in the summer that's not real metal is that you're sweating and then you get all of those really embarrassing green lines on your fingers from the rings and around your neck from fake gold necklaces. I'm over all those green lines. I don't want to do it anymore. And that's why I only wear my Orate jewelry basically every day, because it's 100% sustainable, summer-proof gold that will keep you company in the ocean, the pool, the backyard, the sprinkler, no matter where you're going. Orate has you covered.
And it's so funny you say that, Kathleen, because Orate was actually founded by two friends during brunch when one got a green finger from an overpriced ring. When you pay a lot of money for jewelry, you want to make sure that it's actually going to last.
Yes.
And Orate will stand the test of time.
I am obsessed with my tiny little gold bar earrings from Orate. They're the only earrings that I keep in 24/7 now.
We both have a little ring, a little gold ring. Mine says B, yours says K. Mm-hmm. They're beautiful. And because Orate sells directly to you, there's no middleman markup, they can offer the same quality as traditional Fifth Avenue brands at a fraction of the cost. They've essentially hacked the jewelry market.
And one of the things that I also love about Orate is that their gold is 100% goop proof, so you can lather up with your sunscreen or whatever you have on your body.
So for 15% off of your first Orate purchase, go to oratenewyork.com/taste and then use the promo code TASTE. And here's how you spell it. AURATENewYork.com.
Again, for 15% off of your first Orate purchase, all you have to do is go to oratenewyork.com/taste. That's AURATENewYork.com/taste.
And then use the promo code TASTE. Kathleen.
Yes.
I get so excited when we partner with a brand that I've already been using for years.
Yes.
And that's what's going on with Honey.
Honey.
So if you have shopped online, which I think you have, you've seen that promo code field at the checkout. And if you don't have a promo code, you feel like you're missing out on this exclusive club of people who are secretly saving all this money.
Yes. And then you start panicking and you start Googling around and you keep copying and pasting these codes and nothing works. And you're like, ah.
Have someone do that all for you. That's what Honey is for. It's the free browser extension that finds promo codes for you and then automatically applies them to your cart. You just have to sit there.
When I'm shopping on my phone, I'm like, wait, Kathleen, stop what you're doing. Open up your computer because Honey is going to save you money if you shop directly from your browser.
You know this picture I have of a woman broiling a steak in my kitchen?
For years. I love that picture.
I adore it. I bought it on just an art website. And it was the first time I'd ever used Honey, and it saved me 30%, which was like $100 off of this print.
I just pulled up my Honey account right now because I want to tell our listeners, I'm so excited about this, how much I've saved. I've saved $533.
That's going towards paying for that Peloton you ordered.
Yes. Gentle listener, when you're shopping, promo code thing there, it's empty. You're like, ah, what do I do? You just click on the Honey extension in your browser, and Honey automatically goes through all the promo codes in their system until they're like, bam, found one. Here's your highest savings that you didn't even know that you had. I'm telling you, it's the best invention ever.
Honey has found its over 17 million members over $2 billion in savings. So if you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out on free money.
It's literally free, and it only takes a few seconds to install. And by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting this podcast.
So here's how you're going to do it. Get Honey for free by going to joinhoney.com/AAT. That stands for an acquired taste.
That's joinhoney.com/AAT.
We'll put the link in our show notes too.
Okay, Bethany, you ready for some creepy dark web stuff?
Yes. Oh, I live for creepy dark web stuff. Yeah.
So what I'm going to do today is all of the really weird, freaky shit you can buy on the dark web.
I love. Can you promise me just heading into this that there's no like bad animal stuff?
There's no bad animal stuff.
Okay, thank you. Okay, good.
Okay. You're welcome. So first of all, I didn't know that there are different layers to the web, and you're supposed to think of the internet like an iceberg.
Okay.
So, you know, even though to the human eye, what's sticking out of the water might look really large, what's actually underneath the water is notoriously massive.
Right.
So much larger than what we could see. So the surface web is the top of an iceberg, and that's all the vanilla websites that we go to every day, like Google and Facebook and blah, blah, blah. Now, something that I learned doing this research that I didn't know previously is that there are two terms. There's the deep web and the dark web, and they're often used interchangeably, but that is totally not correct.
Oh.
And what the deep web actually is, it's just like a collection of websites and web pages that aren't indexed by main search engines like Google.
Okay.
Deep web websites just might be like medical records or legal documents or scientific reports, and they're typically not things that you're going to find on like a Google search engine. There are deep web search engines. One that I found was called DuckDuckGo. Another one was called Yandex. So I don't know if the deep web is something you're interested in looking into. You can use those things to access it. Now, the dark web is the part of the iceberg that's actually underneath the deep web. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So this is the part you need like the Tor browser for.
Yes, exactly. Okay. The things on the dark web, they want to remain hidden. It's a hub for shady business on purpose. And you need a Tor to get into the dark web, like Bethany just said. And usually that's some sort of special software that you download. And most of the time you can only access it using Bitcoin. Like you have to pay in Bitcoin to get an account and stuff like that.
So correct me if I'm wrong. I've heard that a lot of the dark web isn't as nefarious as we want to think. A lot of it is just people who don't want to have their actions tracked because, you know, the government tracks everything.
Well, Bethany, you are correct on that. And Big Brother is freaking watching us. Big Brother's watching us.
All the time.
Whether you want to believe it or not.
Yeah.
If you're on the internet, you can be tracked in the blink of an eye. And that's where the dark web comes in. Yes, a lot of nefarious things happen in the dark web. But there's also a section of the dark web called intellectual dark web, where it's just people discussing concepts.
Oh, so like all of just the obnoxious students in your philosophy class trying to one-up each other with how deep a thinker they are.
Yes, exactly. Like they're too cool. Their concepts are too high-end to be trapped.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, totally.
And actually, there's a dark web radio. There's a streaming service on the dark web if you want to listen and not be trapped.
That's amazing. I like that a lot.
I know. So let's get into it. Some of the really crazy, effed up things you can buy on the dark web. For $10, Bethany, you can buy safety codes to an airport.
What is that?
Safety codes.
What do you mean?
I don't know. You tell me. Safety codes. Safety codes to an airport will cost you about $10. I think that probably is like accessing their computer infrastructure.
Oh,
right?
Gosh. Wait, I'm going to Google airport safety codes.
You can also buy a listening device the size of a peppercorn.
Oh.
Which I kind of want. Is that that's not an illegal purchase. I mean, it's not illegal to access the dark web.
No, not at all.
Many people are like, oh, it's illegal, I can't go on there. No, what you do on there, then that becomes illegal when you start purchasing things like hitmen, which is a thing on the dark web.
Yeah. I'm trying to look up what are airport safety codes, but it's not really telling me.
I don't know. I assume it's like the door to the very important room that tells the planes where to go. It's like 669.
Ooh.
And it's like boop, 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 you know, get in that door. That's $10, whatever you can do with it, those airport safety codes. I don't know.
Feels like a low price.
You can actually buy a lot of drugs on the dark web. I don't find that very interesting. What I do find interesting, though, is that earlier this year, Wired.com reported that weed sales on the dark web surged because of the pandemic.
Oh my gosh. That's interesting. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, people are afraid to buy pot from their weed dealers
because
COVID?
Yeah.
Question mark, question mark. You can buy the radioactive element uranium on the dark web.
I wonder, did you find out how much it costs?
I didn't see the price of that, but to make an atomic bomb, which is usually what people are afraid of when they think of the word uranium, you would need like 5 planes to, you know, ship yourself all the uranium you need for an atomic bomb. So I don't know what uranium does in small doses other than make people really sick.
Yeah, very, very, very ill. Maybe a teeny tiny little bomb.
Yeah.
Like a small one.
And now this, I didn't even know this existed. Pocket EMP generators. And what they are is they're mini electronic magnet pulsing devices that can fry any electronics nearby. And they're often used for rigging slot machines.
Oh.
And so hackers will use them to like nuke people's phones and extract confidential data.
Oh my gosh.
Is that not the craziest thing?
There's so many things that I just didn't realize exist. Like I was listening to a podcast. They were talking about old CIA spy tactics. And it's actually a podcast called Wind of Change. It's about, do you remember this Scorpion song from the 80s that started? And then he's like, take me to the dead of the moment on a stormy night, to the dead of tomorrow, sit away on a wind of change. Do you know that song?
I can't say I do, but like I want to so badly. Okay. I want to, Bethany.
Well, anyway, this podcast is about that song and how it's rumored to have been written actually by the CIA, not by the band Scorpions.
Really?
Yeah, but they talk to a former CIA spy in that podcast, and she's talking about how when she worked for, I want to say, the first Bush president, she came in and did a meeting with him where she was wearing a full face mask disguise with a wig. And
that's right.
Yes. And he didn't know she was wearing a face mask. And then she pulled it off and she had a completely different face. Very like Mission Impossible style. She said she's only been allowed to speak about that for like the last 2 years because they now have new technology. So when the old technology is no longer used, that's when former spies can talk about it.
Oh.
Which means that there is some other technology that the government is using that is better than full masks. And we will never know what it is until like they use the else. There's just like there's so many things in this world we don't know about.
Well, it's funny that you say that because one of the items that I found for sale on the dark web is a super realistic, mega creepy silicone mask. And the description says the most realistic silicone masks on the market, movie quality. These are like nothing else. They're really comfortable, seamless and realistic eye holes. You can't even tell from up close. The movement is amazing. Comfort and look at no other level. For the tune of $37,000.
How can they, how do they get the lips? Like, does the mask have its own lips or does it stop before your lips? So how does this work? How does it move when you speak? I can't even begin.
I think they probably, you put a little bit of glue and that's how it works.
Do they put lips over your lips and then they glue it inside your lips or do they glue it up to the skin around your lips and then it's your lips?
If I had to take an educated guess, is that there's like a thin layer of glue on your face and it glues to your whole face so that it's attached and moves like your face moves.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, if it's a very thin, it can't be thick because if it were thick, we would be able to tell that it wasn't human right away.
Yeah.
So it's probably very thin and just sticks to your skin. I mean, silicone in itself has like a sticky quality, but
I mean, I'm thinking about like the Michael Jackson music video Ghosts,
mm-hmm.
where a whole mob of villagers want to kill Michael Jackson. And the main villager is like this fat white guy who's very angry. And the second that guy shows up on the screen, you know it's actually Michael Jackson wearing a big rubber mask. And it in no way looks real. But it's a full mask with hair and everything. I'm just like, I can't think of it being good, but apparently it's good. I'm so sorry. I'm stuck on the mask part of it.
I wonder if that would be an illegal purchase. Like if I were a millionaire, that might be one of the things I said to my husband, you know what, for shits and giggles, let's just get this mask and see what it is.
I don't know what would be illegal about it unless it's current technology that they stole.
Unless I sent them a picture of a friend and said, I want it to look exactly like this.
I mean, that's where it gets to be like a little bit nebulous as to the legality.
And then I start to pretend I'm her clone.
Yeah.
Speaking of ghosts, Bethany, you know,
Yeah. Weird
transition, but you know, I'm trying.
No, that was a good one.
You can buy spirits on the dark web. Yep. Spirits. And I'm not talking like alcohol spirits. I'm talking spirits and ghosts of deceased children can be bought for a small fee on the dark web.
Oh, okay.
And I'll tell you how this is done. It's done by just handing your money over to somebody and they tell you that you own a spirit.
So they don't even like put it in a mason jar, allegedly. They just say like, now I sent it over to you.
Yep. You own the spirit. Yeah.
How much are they charging for this dupe?
I don't have a market value on this particular item.
That's like the best scam there is because you don't even have to do anything.
I'm going to start a website that says I'm selling spirits. I mean, what is the FBI, is the Better Business and Bureau, whatever, going to shut me down? They can't prove shit.
No.
I could say I sold Bethany the spirit of my cat.
I mean, even on eBay, if you're selling a quote-unquote haunted doll, you at least have to blow cigarette smoke in front of the camera as you take a picture so it looks like there's a spirit there. You don't even have to do that here. You don't even have to take a picture.
If you've ever wanted to live forever, you can buy an immortality guide for $2 on the dark web.
Okay.
$2, that's a bargain. The title of this is How to Live Forever and 34 Other Really Interesting Uses of Science.
Okay.
And the cover of the guide has like a human in an ice cube.
That's Okay. So you clearly don't have to be smart to get on the dark web, because dumb dumbs are going to be buying immortality guides and spirits day in and day out.
It makes me want to go on the dark web, like illustrate, draw up a little guide to something that's absolutely bullshit, and then sell it for $2 and see how much I get.
Right? No, I think I mean, I'd be really curious how much you made. Am I allowed to say about when you considered selling your socks?
No, you're allowed to. I tried to sell my dirty socks and dirty shoes on Craigslist.
Yeah, you were trying to lean into just the really creepy dudes who wanted these sort of things, so you'd be like,
I didn't want to go full underwear.
Bookish, nerdy girl, you know, who's like never been kissed.
Yeah. Blah, 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 blah. Never been kissed. High school Converse. Well-worn. Been on many adventures all over Europe with these sneakers.
And did anyone ever buy them?
No, I never bought them. I know. Other guidebooks you can buy on the dark web, which... these titles interest me quite a lot. How to Vanish So That No One Can Find You.
Ooh, that's a good one.
How to Turn a Household Object into a Bomb.
Ooh.
How to Create a New Identity.
That's cool. You have to find a person who died young and then just take their
social security
number. Yep.
If I've learned anything from watching the Blake Lively movie Adelaide. No. It wasn't called Adelaide. It was... Oh, God, Harrison Ford was in it. Blake Lively was hit by a lightning bolt and it froze her at like 34 and she was super hot and she never aged. God, what is that movie called?
And Harrison Ford was like her boyfriend?
Was her boyfriend at the time.
Of course.
And then he got older and then she ended up accidentally dating his son. The movie I'm talking about is called Age of Adeline.
Oh, gotcha.
And she has all these like fake documents, you know, creating new identities because the government is like, why were you born in 1850 and you still look like you're 34 in 2001?
I mean, that's the problem that the Cullens had too, you know, is like they're vampires. They're going to live forever, but like they still got to go to school and have jobs and stuff.
That is why the dark web is useful to a very specific sect of people that live on this world.
And vampires.
Bethany, how's your erection? Your erections lately?
Oh my God. Sturdy. I can hang laundry off of them. And I often do.
Air dry.
How about your? How are your multiple erections?
Well, they're great now that I found Cobra erection pills on the dark net. These pills claim to be stronger than Kimagra, which I guess is a brand of erection pill, and Viagra. So you should be very careful when testing out your Cobra erection
pills. And if we learned anything from the 40-year-old virgin, it's that if your erection lasts longer than 4 hours, you should light a match and then place the tip on the underside of your penis, apparently, according to that movie.
Sure thing. Yeah. Don't try it at home unless you have a fire extinguisher nearby. Another thing you can buy on the dark web, an Amazon refund scam, which basically means that it's a code that you use when you purchase something from Amazon. You say you returned it and you use this code and it shows on your profile that you've returned the item and they refund you even though you haven't returned the item.
You know what? I'm not mad about that because Amazon is a garbage company that treats its employees horribly. So I'm not mad at that.
Word on the street. Word on the street. Forget Mega Ball and Powerball. If you're trying to play the lottery, you need to play a BitBall.
Ooh, what's BitBall?
BitBall is the dark web's lottery, and you don't have to pay any taxes if you win.
And you get paid in Bitcoin, right. I'm guessing.
Yep, you get paid in Bitcoin.
Amazing.
So, Bethany, for the low price of $20, you can have a woman, there's a specific website on the dark web, that advertises a hot girl writing anything at your request on her body for $20. I'm sure there's a word count because you can't request someone write the Declaration of Independence on their skin. There's not enough skin.
You know? So now I'm curious what this is going to be used for, though.
You know, if say you're with, I don't know, say you're trying to convince your friends you have a hot girlfriend and you're like, this is my girlfriend. They're like, that's not your girlfriend. You stole that picture from the internet. No, I'm going to tell her to write my name on her boobs and then you're going to see. And then
she does. So it's basically that. That's what it's used for. Unless you use her for advertising, but I'm guessing that's not part of the deal. Like if she writes, you know, Tony's Deli on her boobs and then you put it in your window. Like I can't think of any other reason that this would be useful.
Or I don't know, what is the name of that? Oh, Romantic Depot.
Yeah, exactly. But like, again, like she should be reimbursed for the use of her image. I doubt that that's going to be included in the $20.
Probably not. But you know what? I don't think that that girl is searching the web for her image.
I mean, I would be. I'd want to know where, you know, if I show my boobs and they say on it, you know, Rick's Tire Emporium. I want to make sure that I'm being justly compensated for, you know, the use of my image.
For the tune of $400, you can buy a laboratory set of equipment and instructions on how to make illegal substances. It all comes to your house.
Wow.
All ready to go. Everything you need for a proper laboratory, $400.
Discreet packaging?
Discreet packaging.
Thank God.
Mm-hmm. You can buy someone's bank account information for $10.
That's insane. Why is it only $10?
I would like to buy Bill Gates's bank information for $10.
Why only $10? I feel like that's a lot of information for only $10. And why is this person just not taking the bank information themselves and just taking all that money?
Maybe there's only $5 in that bank account, Bethany, and you've gotten duped.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah, I feel like there's holes in logic in a lot of these.
So 3D printers are sort of like a hot topic right now. You can buy almost anything on the dark web that someone has printed out using their 3D printer. A lot of the times the quality is not going to be very sure. good. But apparently you can buy guns that have been 3D printed for as low as $600.
That's awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they probably don't show up on metal detectors, I'm guessing.
Mm-mm. A real British passport cost you $2,000 on the dark web.
That's what I feel like the bank account information should cost.
Yeah, me too. I don't know. I would be interested in buying a real British passport just so I could tell people that I have dual citizenship and makes me seem cooler than I am.
Totally. Do I get to choose the name?
Sure.
I mean, because you have to make it look like you, right? So if it's a real British passport, if the person's name is like Anthony, how am I supposed to? That's not worth $2,000 for me.
Speaking of the Brits, you can also buy a diploma from Cambridge University for $450.
Worth it. Worth it. Worth it. Again, I want to know if I get to choose what the degree was in.
You probably do. I bet you do. For $450,
yeah.
I bet you
do.
I
better.
I mean, think about it. Say you lived in Florida and you're working for a small company in Florida and you're like, oh, I graduated from Cambridge. They're not going to call Cambridge and be like, hey, did this person graduate? They're just going to be like, oh, cool. There's your diploma. I mean, like, have you ever been asked for your diploma when applying for a job?
No, but they have checked my background. This is, again, I feel like this is not useful because at some point you also have to change the records of Cambridge. There's so many things that are searchable online. Just because you have a physical diploma doesn't mean that it changes anything in the database of Cambridge. So if someone's trying to do a background check on you, they're not going to find you in a list of alumni.
Yeah, but you know what? A lot of small companies, they don't do background checks. They're too expensive.
Why are you applying for a small company if you graduated from Cambridge?
Well, you're living the simple life. That's it. You know,
yeah.
If you would like to buy a stolen car on the dark web, it'll cost you about $275,000.
Why don't you just buy a better car again?
But here's the thing, Bethany. Here is the thing. They take out all the GPS tracking devices.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Still. Yep. Can we have somebody explain this to me? Because I really am not understanding. You can probably pay someone to take out the GPS tracking of a car that you buy legally. If you have $275,000 to spend on a car, get yourself a gorgeous pimped out car that isn't stolen.
Well, here's the thing. Because whomever you get to buy you that car, their name is going to be on it. And then that's how the police find you. Like if you're running from the police and you need a totally untrackable car, $275,000.
I guess. Yeah, you're right. It's the lack of documentation behind it that you're probably really paying for.
Now, here's the stuff I might consider dabbling in.
Okay.
Fake coupons for your favorite groceries.
Hell yes.
Yep.
Yes. And I want more than just 25 cents off of like 8 yogurts.
I know. Okay. So this is what the ad says. It says USA coupons, breakfast and cereal coupon pack. Coupons work in the USA only, look exactly like the leading internet coupons and work even better. All you need is a printer and you can print these as many times as you like. Coupons expire in 90 days from when you first receive your coupons.
That's awesome. I mean, that's not awesome, but you know, it's kind of awesome.
Netflix accounts. You can buy someone's lifetime Netflix account for as little as a dollar.
Again, not great, but not the worst thing that's being done.
Well, you know, I think I would notice if I logged into my Netflix account and someone had been watching something that I absolutely would never watch.
Speaking of which, have you logged into your Stars account lately?
No, I haven't. What have you been watching?
A lot. It's just going to throw off your algorithm. You're probably going to be seeing a lot more like dark murder-based procedurals.
That's fine. I don't spend a whole lot of time on Starz. Good. So, Bethany, you can use my Starz account until your heart's content.
Do you want me to log into your account, Bert's account, or the quote-unquote other profile?
You can just make the Bethany profile if you
Thank
want.
You.
That's totally
okay,
fine with
that's
me.
That's the one we used.
My husband's Spotify account did get hacked last year, and I imagine something happened where his account was sold on the dark web, because then shortly after, his Netflix account got hacked. But on his Spotify account, he was so mad because it messed up the algorithm, because whomever was using it was listening to constant BTS and the Moana soundtrack. And then at the end of the year, you know, Spotify will send you like those fake awards, like you've listened to this year. Well, his was all wrong, and it was all just children's soundtrack.
Does he know all the words to How Far I'll Go?
Sure does. Sure does. Have you ever had an account that was hacked, like a Netflix or a Spotify or Uber?
My Netflix got hacked about 6 months ago from someone in Pakistan.
Yeah.
But we caught it right away, so they hadn't watched anything yet.
My Uber was hacked, also in Pakistan. I'm like, what are you going to take a ride in Pakistan? And like, I'm not going to notice that I didn't go from like, I don't know. I don't even know any of the cities in Pakistan. I'm very bad. You can also buy on the dark web social security numbers guaranteed for people to have a credit score of 750 or over.
Whoa.
Yep. Whoa. It's called the Black Bank. And they don't even charge you for shipping on these babies.
Free shipping? That's such great customer service.
And typically you buy them in batches of 100 since you don't know which ones are actually going to work.
Dang.
So it only costs you like $17, like not a whole lot of money. So you have the potential to make like $500,000 from a $17 investment.
Wow. That's
Also something, Facebook hacking. You can pay someone on the dark web to hack anyone's Facebook profile for about $200.
Why would you want to? You're just going to get a profile account that's just people yelling about politics.
Why wouldn't you want to? What if you're getting divorced and you think that your husband has been sending messages to his mistress on Facebook?
Oh,
that's the kind of stuff.
That makes sense.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. No, that would be interesting. Hacking their email would probably be interesting, too. It would be fascinating.
To see what was in someone's email. What would they find in your email? Anything good?
No, I mean, it would be so boring. It would just be like, no, I'm not interested in this particular, like, brand partnership via Instagram right now where, you know, it's just to promote something that I don't believe in.
Mine would all be emails from J. Crew. Thank you for your purchase. Yeah. Thank you for your purchase. Thank you for your
purchase. Yeah, it would be a lot of, like, thank you for returning these items of clothing that didn't fit you. We'll have your refund back in your bank account in 3 to 5 days.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, there are a few other things on my list, but they're not like really that nefarious. Like blueprints for secret tunnels.
Wait, what?
Some rare books. Yeah, you can actually buy blueprints to build yourself a secret tunnel. Or there's also blueprints for secret tunnels that exist that the public doesn't know about.
That one I would want. Does it say price on that?
No, it doesn't. But you would have to log onto the dark web and then search secret tunnels.
I wonder if that's illegal or not, because that's one I'd actually be really, really interested in. But I'm not looking to break any laws.
I just want to break like a small law. Like maybe I just have to pay a fine and not go to jail.
I would aim to not break laws. I think our goal should be to not break laws, not, you know, just in general, like aim high enough to not break laws. And then, you know, sometimes you slip up and you use someone's Starz account. But like the goal is to kind of be a walk with the law.
All right. Now, gentle listener, if you're thinking about accessing the dark web, please get yourself a new email address and use a password that you've never used before. And this is why. Earlier this year, back in March, some hacker, he goes by the name King Null, he hacked one of the most popular Tor software sites to get into the dark web called Daniel's Hosting, also known as DH. And he posted email addresses and passwords that everybody who used this Tor to access the dark web. And now the cops have all this information and they're going email by email tracking people's usage online.
That's...
So the same email that you use to email your grandma, don't use it for the dark web.
Yeah, and don't make it something very obvious. Like, again, if you run a tire emporium, don't make it like Ray Hart's, you can't use a heart, Ray Loves LUVs Tires, you know, 69.
Yeah.
Make it like, you know, make it like Mr. Roadster. 6969.
No, don't use any identifying factors.
Make it like, I'll make you go fast.
If you're a hitman, please don't make your email address hitmanforhire@yahoo.com.
Guns, guns, guns.
Guns,
123
guns.
@yahoo.
Mine would be, I just want to take a peek at the dark web.
Just here to look. @gmail.com.
Only a little bit illegal @gmail.com.
Mine would be naive Wisconsin girl @juno.net.
69, 69, 69, 69. Let's face it, most women's razors don't cut it. We deserve better than having to choose between either overpriced brands or those skin-scraping disposable razors. Thankfully, I found the Athena Club razor, and it gives me the smoothest shave with zero irritation every time. Bethany?
Yes, Kathleen?
I wish you could come over and feel how smooth my bikini line is.
You know I would.
I know you would.
You know I would.
That is why you are my best friend, but... It is because I've been using Athena Club, my new razor, and my shaving cream. Shaving cream looks like clouds, feels like clouds. It's like the best shaving cream I've ever had. It's the best razor I've ever had. And I want to tell the world, my bikini line is so dang smooth.
You know what? I believe it. I'm picturing it right now, and I won't stop picturing it. Athena Club has products that cater to your personal routine, no matter what they may be. And they're such a good company because their ingredients are always listed. They're super transparent. Questions are always answered. Their manufacturer is FDA compliant. Their products aren't tested on animals. I have their dewy body lotion right here next to me.
Ooh.
And it smells like a combination of fresh air and clean linen. You know, those two just like uplifting, really fresh scents. Mm-hmm. I highly, highly recommend their body lotion to use right after you use their razors.
From body care to supplements, Athena Club's products are made with only the highest quality ingredients. You can also get period care on Athena Club. They offer everything you need, even when you didn't realize you needed it.
But the best part of all of this is the price point. The Athena Club razor kit is only $9, which includes two razor heads and a magnetic holder. And you can sign up for replacement blades right away. I get my blades shipped regularly, so I never run out.
Stop using razors that underdeliver and switch to Athena Club. Sign up today and you'll get 15% off of your first order. Just go to athenaclub.com and use the promo code TASTE.
That's athenaclub.com and then use the promo code TASTE for 15% off.
Bethany, I had to take my pants off. It's just too hot in here and I figured you can only see my top, so whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, no, pants are always optional, even when we're together. Don't even worry about it.
Are you wearing pants right now?
I'm wearing a skirt, so no.
Ooh, getting some sun on those gams, baby girl.
No, because the skirt goes to my ankles, just like a lady should do. It's like the longest skirt I have. It actually drags on the floor. And I was wearing it once out, and a woman in the subway was like, oh no, your skirt is getting all dirty. And I said, what's the point of a skirt if you can't wear it? So it'll be okay.
No, you need to get that hemmed, Bethany. What is the point of wearing a skirt if it's all dirty?
Because that's what happens. It drags on the floor because it's being lovely and it's trailing you like a lovely skirt should do.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
You know.
Victorian era, Bethany.
Exactly. Yeah,
okay. I have some big news.
Ooh, tell me.
From a taste bud. So a couple of podcasts ago, you were talking about how you had an esthetician who basically shamed you for saying that you sometimes moisturize your face with coconut oil.
Yeah, but she didn't tell me why. She was just like, oh, that's a big molecule. And like just carried on and didn't tell me why.
So our taste bud left a voicemail saying that turns out the coconut molecule, like coconut oil molecule, gets inside your pore to, I don't know, lube it up or provide moisture or whatever, and then it's too big to get out. It can get stuck, and that is why you break out.
Oh, see, I wish she had explained that.
Yeah.
That would have made sense. She just shamed me and then moved on with her life.
Mm-hmm. I know. It's fucked up. It is.
Speaking of taste buds, I have to shout out the most recent review we got. I believe it was on Apple Podcasts. It was so nice. The subject line is, makes me feel less lonely. Aww. This person said, I started listening to these lovely ladies at a low time in my life when I didn't have a lot of friends. Listening to Bethany and Kathleen was like having friends and made me feel a hell of a lot less lonely. They're both kind, funny, and very entertaining. Keep up the good work, which was so nice. And that is maybe the best feedback we can get, because I think we've all felt times that we're very lonely and we're very alone, and mm-hmm. it's just nice to have people talking in the background. You know, makes you feel like there's friends over.
Bethany, in my opener today, I said mm-hmm. that I am becoming an expert at smart refrigerators.
Yes, explain this. Are you in the market for a new refrigerator?
Yeah, I'm looking for my mom. And okay. I've basically never purchased a major appliance before other than my Peloton. That's it.
Yeah, no, and I, because, you know, we're renters, so yeah. We just get whatever comes to us.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm happy when things come to me, and I'm just happy if it turns on. So Right. Anyway, I've been doing some research on fridges, and smart fridges are insanity.
What are they doing nowadays?
Smart fridges now will scan products in your fridge. Like, I think it's called RFID, the code, right?
Yeah.
It's on a product that you have.
Yeah.
And it'll tell you when you're out of something that you usually keep in your fridge.
I don't like it.
You can also go to the grocery store and you can look inside your fridge with the camera so you can see what you're out of, right? And
I don't like it.
Smart fridges have different zones for, like, this is your zone for vegetables. This is your zone for drinks. And they have, like, double doors. So you open up your fridge doors and then there's another set of doors inside. So when you open up the initial door, all of your drinks are just there. So the stuff that really truly does need to stay cold so it doesn't spoil is on this second set of inside doors.
Okay, that I like. Yep. I like that a lot.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh, okay.
And this is blowing my mind. I saw a freezer that makes those sphere ice things.
Oh, those are cool.
Like the kind that you get at a fancy cocktail bar. There are freezers now.
It's the kind you get at a bar where the bartender wears suspenders and has like a twirly mustache and takes 17 minutes to make your drink.
Mm-hmm. I'm from Brooklyn. There's raw egg whites in this cocktail. So there are smart freezers now that make those sphere ice balls, like, just because they can.
Mm-mm-mm, for the smell of it. You know what? I don't like my refrigerator having a level of awareness that it can tell me what I do or don't have. I don't like my fridge being able to scan things and tell me what's in it. I don't want my fridge communicating with me. I like having multiple doors. That's fine. But I feel like, Kathleen, and we've been talking about this, at some point, your fridge is going to go all HAL 2001 A Space Odyssey Mm-mm. on you and Mm-mm. tell you that I'm so sorry, but you can't open this door, or I'm so sorry, but I've trapped you in this fridge. I'm going to kill you. And when it talks to your smart speaker, your phone, your security system, soon your apartment is going to be in cahoots to destroy your life.
But at least your smart fridge will have your calendar, you know, because there's like a tablet on the front where you put in your Google calendar, and then your smart fridge will be like, okay, so maybe Wednesday is the best day to destroy your life because I see that you have a dentist appointment on Tuesday.
Okay, I don't even want it knowing what my calendar is. I don't like that.
There's tablets for recipes and things right on the front. There's like an iPad built into your fridge.
Do you remember when the internet was just like everyone wanted everything to be internet all the time and there was a surfboard that had the internet in it? Do you remember this?
No.
I only remember this because I remember the clip from the Today Show and they were showing it to the guys, and Al Roker said something like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever seen, or like was just like so honest, because clearly this surfboard does not need to have the internet.
Why not?
It had like a tablet in it.
Yeah,
because what are you gonna get back onto land and immediately check your email on your surfboard?
Well, I think a smart surfboard would have radar underneath to see if you were swimming over dolphins or sharks or whales, you know, to like alert you. Also, a smart surfboard might like be able to capture the ebb and flow of the waves and tell you when is a good time to go.
I think that you should be a good enough surfer to figure that out on your own. I think that you're becoming a lazy surfer, Kathleen. If you're expecting your surfboard to tell you the ebb and the flow, lazy. You're lazy. You
know, I'm not a surfer at all. So if a machine can do it for me. Gentle listener, if you're an expert on smart fridges, will you please let me know so I can further try to convince Bethany that smart devices are the way of the future. Thank you.
No, it's the scariest thing. Stephen Hawking believed that it's the scariest thing. Like, robots are going to kill us. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Kathleen, what'd you learn this week?
I learned, and I know there are a lot of people who are not going to be as interested in this as I am, but I'm just going to share it because, you know, whatever, it's my podcast. Guys, when you have like suits, okay, you know, like the suit, the cuff where the jacket ends, you should have a little bit of the sleeve sticking out because it makes it look custom. Did you know that?
Oh, I didn't know that that's why you should do it. I just knew that was the rule. Oh.
So I like went back and looked at all these photos of my husband in a suit, and his suit jacket, the sleeve covers the cuff all the time. And I'm like, okay, we've been doing it wrong all these years. Time to get to the tailor. You need a little bit of cuff sticking out because then it looks like it was custom and not Macy's.
I like this. Can I tell you what I learned this week?
Sure.
If you love scary movies, I learned about this. It's not new. New to me. Came out in 2019. It's a horror film called Come to Daddy, and it stars Elijah Wood. Mm-hmm. And
Come to Daddy. Yeah. Oh, you sure this is a horror movie?
It's definitely a horror movie. Elijah Wood plays this super entitled guy who comes to visit his estranged father, who he hasn't seen for like his entire life.
Okay.
And I think they shot it in New Zealand. It is creepy and very funny and puts you on the edge of your seat. And there's a lot of dread. There's a lot of weirdness. And I loved it.
That sounds like a good time.
I think we watched it on Amazon Prime. But again, it's called Come to Daddy. And I highly recommend.
Just make sure you don't accidentally play something else called Come to Daddy.
I know. I couldn't remember the title. And so I was searching for like Call Me Daddy. Nope. That came up with a lot of bad results that weren't what I was looking for.
I'm Your Daddy. Mm-hmm. Doing Daddy.
Who's Your Daddy? Yeah.
Doing boozing no. Daddy.
Okay. All right. Kathleen, where can people find you on social media?
They can find me at Webgirl Kathleen on everything.
I'm Miss Bethany Watson on Instagram, Radio Bethany on Twitter.
If you want to follow this podcast, you can do so at Acquired Podcast on Twitter.
At Acquired Taste Podcast on Instagram.
Acquired Taste Podcast on Facebook. Plus, make sure you check out our fan group. There's really a truly amazing and supportive group of people in there that you can ask them anything and they will give you the darndest, most honest answers.
You can also send us an email at acquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com.
We also have a snail mail address. You can send us mail at an Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey, 07030.
And we have a hotline that you can call and leave us a voicemail message. I think you can also text it too.
Yes.
We play those voicemails at the end of every episode. We love hearing from you. And that phone number is 917-994-0353.
Last week, a taste bud called and said that me buying a Peloton was the best decision ever, and they're so excited for me, and I'm not going to regret it.
Was that you? Are you the one who made that phone call?
Nope. And I played it for my mom, and I played it for Neil, and I said, see, the money was worth it.
Our podcast is edited by Charlotte Gartenberg. You can follow her on Twitter at Chargar and on Instagram at lit_fuck.
And wherever you listen to this podcast, please rate, review, and subscribe. 5 stars is the best, helps us move up in the ranks, and we love reading everything that you have to say.
This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath.
Taste buds, here's what you had to say this week.
Hi, Kathleen. Hi, Bethany. My name's Molly. I'm a longtime listener and a first-time caller. I have become a professional walker during these COVID times, and in doing so, I have crushed your podcast, the recent one, so I went back and started finding ones I hadn't listened to yet. On Father's Day, I was driving home to visit my dad, and something Kathleen said on an October podcast literally made my jaw drop. So my fiance and I are scheduled to be married July 25th, 2020. Everything has been canceled. My bridal shower, my bachelorette party, our wedding. So about a week ago, we decided to hell with it. We're doing a backyard wedding. We rented a pizza truck. We're getting rosé and beer, and we're getting married. Kathleen, you were talking about your wedding, and you said, if I could do it all again, I would have a pizza and rosé party. My jaw dropped. I got tears in my eyes. I have been so emotional about everything being canceled. And hearing you say that just made me so happy. I wanted to let you know I really felt that. I love you both so much. I appreciate everything you do. And I hope you guys have a great day. All right, just had to let you know. Bye.
This is Colleen. I wanted to let you know that I also had bed bugs a few years ago. I'm a teacher, and one of my students was kind enough to pass it along to me. So, Bethany, I just want to tell you, don't sleep on your couch because they'll follow you. They'll follow where the food source is. And the best thing you can do is sleep on an air mattress in your bedroom, and that keeps them contained in one room. I made the mistake of moving to my couch when this happened, and they followed me down and infested my couch. So that's my advice. All of my love to you, because it was the worst experience ever. So good luck. It sounds like you're doing everything else right. All right, bye.
Hi, ladies. I'm listening to the most recent podcast, and I had to pause it because I just got to the part about Kathleen admitting that she bought a Peloton bike. And girl, you will not regret that decision. I just had mine delivered on June 8th, and I've literally ridden it every day. It's the best workout I've ever gotten. I'm like so excited for you. So I just had to call and say congratulations. You need to let us know what your leaderboard name is so we can follow you.
Hi, ladies. I just want to say I got finished with the bonus episode, and I was hearing Kathleen talk about her renovating, helping her mom with her house. And I just want to say that I have been doing that with my grandmother's house that she built about 35 years ago. I went to paint my daughter's bedroom, and I realized how horrible I am at it and how long it takes just one person. So I texted my tribe being kind of like hopeful, but also thinking I was going to be shot down, going, hey, who wants to help me paint? I'll be darned. All of them, all eight of them came down this past Saturday and helped me paint two bedrooms and a hallway, helped me move furniture around. It was just amazing. And so, yeah, like crowdsourcing is amazing for ideas. But also, like, sometimes it's okay to ask for help. I am a single mom, and a lot of times I don't ask. It's really hard to ask for help.
Hi, ladies. This is Steph from the Poconos. I've been posting a little bit in the podcast group on Facebook talking about how I'm struggling with trying to find a new job. I'm trying to move back home and be with my boyfriend. We're long distance. We have been for 5 years, and I can't get an interview. And when I do get an interview, I don't get a second interview, and it's just really frustrating. And the Buds actually gave me a lot of great tips. So I found out that there was a transfer position in my school. I applied for it, and I got a first interview. And today, I got an email saying that I was not chosen. And it was really sad and frustrating. I'm at a loss right now, but, what I'm calling to tell you is that I'm realizing that you ladies are really who I turn to when I just need someone to make me feel better and to laugh with. And it made me feel better. And I'm really hoping that I can find the job that I want and that it'll work out when it's supposed to. But I just thank you guys for your podcast and for being there when we really need you to be. So I love you and I thank you. And I can't wait to listen to, you know, more episodes. Thanks, ladies.